We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Well, I'm refreshing my mezzanette just to make sure, but I guess it's true. 60 degrees out there, winds out of the north, northwest at 6 miles an hour, gust up to 9. What a beautiful day for January 24th, year 2022. Crazy how this weather is, but hey, it's going to change tonight, so don't get used to it. So we'll get that going, but what a crazy weekend. Hey, how about those Chiefs? Anyway, Chiefs, what a game last night. I hadn't watched much NFL football in the last 2 or 3 years, but I was down and out on my leg this weekend and watched a bunch of good games. Anyway, it was looking good. And that game last night, though, was just crazy. Ever since Jerry Jones bought out the Cowboys and did Tom Landry the way he did, I switched to becoming a Chiefs fan way back then, and got the privilege of living in Kansas City in the Kansas City area for 19 years. So I'm a big Chiefs fan, but wow, that was a crazy game last night. That was a Super Bowl as far as I was concerned. That was a great game and just wonderful. Anyway, grain prices. Holy cow. The wheat's really up. Cash grain prices in Oklahoma as of an hour ago, hard red winter wheat was at $7.78. Just last week, it was getting ready to go back down in the 6 range, and here we are going back up. Corn, 6.19, milo, 6.17, soybeans down a little bit at 13.40, but still good. And cotton's hanging in there, $1.20 a pound. So wheat futures were higher in overnight trading amid ongoing tensions between Russia and Ukraine, two of the world's largest exporting countries. Around 100,000 Russian troops have reportedly amassed at the Ukraine border. NATO countries are sending fighter jets to the country in case Russia attacks. I hope they don't, because this war here might not be too good. So the U.S. reportedly told non-essential staff to leave Ukraine, though it's not yet considered an evacuation. What do you call that? Anyway, Britain has started withdrawing embassy staff from the Ukraine. Russia is expected to export 35 million metric tons of wheat in 2021-22 marketing year, according to the USDA. If Moscow starts a war in the Ukraine, there's little doubt one of the first actions taken by governments would be sanction Russian products, including wheat. This would reduce the amount available on the global stage and likely would mean improved export opportunities for exporters, including the United States. Ukraine wheat exports also likely will be hurt if Russian attacks. The country is forecast to export 24.2 million metric tons of wheat this year. Wheat for March delivery jumped 6 cents to $7.86 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures added 9.5 cents, and they're at $8.02¾ a bushel. Soybean futures for March delivery fell 5.5 cents to $14.08¾ a bushel. Soy meal lost 10 cents to $392.60 a short ton. And soybean oil futures dropped 0.55 cents to 62.45 cents a pound. Corn futures for March delivery fell 2.25 to $6.14 a bushel. Well, money managers reduced their net long positions or bets on higher prices in corns and beans in the 7 days that ended on January 18th, according to the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Investors held 318,944 corn futures contracts last week, and that's down from 334,000 the previous week. That's the smallest bullish position since the week ended on November 30th. Spectators held a net 98,451 soybean futures contracts last week. That's down from 107,278 contracts a week earlier. That's the smallest such position in a month. In wheat, investors held 35,364 hard red winter wheat contracts. That's down from 42,000 last week. Fund managers continued to be bearish on soft red winter wheat, holding a net short position or bets on lower prices. 28,385,000 future contracts, and that's down from 31,202 last week. Well, wind chill advisory warnings are issued for the Northern Plains. Wind chill warnings advisories are in effect in much of the United States Northern Plains, as values today are expected to hit as low as minus 45. It's chilly. Wind chills in parts of North Dakota, Minnesota, and northeastern South Dakota are expected to drop throughout the day. An advisory started at 6 a.m. this morning in eastern North Dakota and will last till 9 p.m. tonight, when the wind chill warning will take effect, lasting until noon tomorrow. The dangerous cold wind chills could cause frostbite on exposed skin in as little as 5 to 10 minutes. You guys catch that? As little as 5 to 10 minutes. They've been listening to my show, and I've been making fun of them because one day they say 5 minutes and the next day they say 10. Now they got their butts covered now with 5 to 10 minutes. So I'm happy now. In western Kansas, meanwhile, a winter storm watch has been issued. Up to 5 inches of snow, potentially more in some places, are expected in several counties tomorrow. Roads are expected to be slippery, and caution is warranted, according to the National Weather Service. Well, I think we're going to get some white stuff tomorrow. I don't know if it's going to be dry or wet, but our forecast is calling for it. I want to give out a big shout out to a gentleman I met up there in the Ringling area, up there east of west of Enid, 3 or 4 years back when I was doing some fracks up there for Armor Oil Company out of Tulsa. He called me out of the blue Saturday. He's a farmer and rancher up there, and super nice guy. And he always brags on me because I always done what I was. I told him I was going to do when I was buying water from him or filling a pond back up for him or however that deal when we was fracking. But he called me out of the blue, and we talked, I don't know, 30 or 45 minutes. But anyway, he hadn't listened to my show yet, but he found out about it because of the Penny News. Get this, right east or west of Enid, he seen my picture, me and Reba, in the Penny News there on page 4 and 5, every week's edition. So anyway, big shout out to Kip if he's listening today. I hope he's listening. So appreciate the phone call from you, and always enjoy talking to you. I also, this weekend, in all my spare time of doing nothing with my leg propped up and on ice, and by the way, I can actually put weight back on it today, so excuse me, everything's good. I learned a new word. Either that or I'm just naive and never knew the word existed out there. Well, excuse me, on Facebook, on Oklahoma Ag or Oklahoma Cattle, they got a page on there. Somebody posted a summary from the Pawnee Sale Barn and was talking about it. And I researched all the sale barns in Oklahoma this weekend and parts of Texas, and everybody in our area, we're in check with what's going on in the rest of the state and parts of Texas as far as prices and concerned are. But, you know, when you look at these sales reports, you always see the steers and you see the bulls, you see the heifers, and then down at the bottom is always the packer cows, packer bulls, bred cows, cow-calf pairs. You know, given the prices there, well, here's a new one. He said, packer bulls, packer cows, bred cows, cow-calf pairs, and heiferettes. Okay, so either I'm just behind on times or just stupid, one of the, probably both. But anyway, somebody texts in to me on the text line 580-225 9697 and explain to me what a heiferette is. I have never heard that word in my life. So tell me what a heiferette is if you know. I'm just taking a wild guess. It's a heifer that's never bred or never had the chance to bred, but maybe two and a half, 3 years old. But heiferette, that looks like, I don't know. Anyways, I learned a new word this weekend, so everything's good. Well, before I go to break, man, there is cow and bull sales coming up all the time starting now. I haven't heard the results from the Hudson Farms Saturday, but I'm sure it was good. But coming up Saturday, February 5th, Roger Mills Cattlemen's Association 44th Annual All Breed Bull Sale will start at 12:15, February 5th, Saturday. And they do have an alternate date in there in case of weather or whatever. February 12th, the next Saturday will be, it's at the Cheyenne Ag Pavilion. Most everybody knows where that is over there on the west side of Cheyenne. But they got, looks like they're having 65 plus breeding age bulls, and they're registered and commercial. And I'm just going to rattle off some of the people that are bringing bulls because there's some good names in here. Mullet Angus, Boswell Cattle Company, Jenkins Angus. I don't know why I was thinking about going to Jenkins. But Jenkins Angus Farms, Ackerson Farms, Brookshire Farms, Black Hereford Ranch, Maury White, 5D Cattle, TJ Torrell, Jason Brown, Newman Ranch, Rounds Cattle Company, Lazy S Ranch, Chris Barton Farms, Paul Keith, Beer Cattle, Blake Holly, Brink Angus, and Merle Farms. So what a great sale coming up. Put that on your calendar. Get your going to the bull sale boots out. Fire up your go-to-church pickup that you never drive. Don't show up there with a bale of hay on the back of your pickup. That won't look very professional. So anyway, get ready to go to that sale. And next segment, I'll tell you about another one going up in Dewey County up there around Leedy. I'll tell you about another one of those. So anyway, text me in. I want to know what a heiferette is. Somebody out there smarter than me. I know there's a lot of people out there smarter than me, but let me know what a heiferette is. And then again, big shout out to Kip up there at Ringland. Thanks for being one of my fans. That's a long ranger friend there. So anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
My background is in AI service. If you're doing that, you're more progressive. You're not going to the sale barn and buying a bull for the cheapest you can get. You're searching for better genetics. You're searching for a better quality product. Just like, do you go down to the used car store and buy the car with all the dents and dings, or do you want the new car? We decided we'd start building our own pretty vehicles rather than going paying the price for the pretty vehicle. B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Are you in the market to buy or sell cattle? Then don't miss Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale's every Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. Buyers can bid in person or online. To consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. That's 580-331-8547. Be sure and check out the market reports and each week's penny news. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Sorry, I'm playing with some new buttons here, trying some new stuff out today. I'll tell you more about it tomorrow. The day's a test run, so we'll see how it goes. All right. I got some good responses on my heiferette deal, which I figured I would. But anyway, we got 62 degrees, wind still basically calm, northwest 5 to 7. Get out there and enjoy it today, folks, because life changes again in Oklahoma, as it always does. So I'll read you the first one. A heiferette. It's a cowgirl wearing parachute pants or jeans with a lot of pockets that zip up. So anyway, here we go. I don't know. I guess it's possible. I know what it says in the dictionaries. I got my phone's lighting up here. It says, is that a twin heifer that can't breed? I'm not sure, but that's a good answer. And then here's one from my wife. She says, definition of a heiferette is a large, heavy heifer having nearly the size and development of a mature cow. And then another person, RH over there in the Delhi area, is a female bovine, usually more than 6 months of age and less of 2 years of age, that has had no more than one calf. Okay. And so, am I right or wrong, RH? The next time that heifer has a calf, is that a second calf heifer or a three-year-old cow? So I'll let you answer that question for me. But anyway, yeah, I really do like the first one. The cowgirl wearing parachute pants and jeans with a lot of pockets that zip up. That's awesome. People like that's the reason why I don't take live phone calls in on my show, because you never know what's going to come out of a Western Oklahoma or Eastern Texas panhandle mouth. Anyway, a couple things, a couple of new people on the Oklahoma Beef Cattlemen Associations. They got two new board members on the Beef Council. On the Beef Council. The two new members in the beef community to serve OBC are Nikki Callison from Ada and Russell Bowles from Watson, Oklahoma. Bowles is a second-generation Oklahoma rancher who runs Stocker Cattle in southeastern Oklahoma near Watson. He sells feed additives for Consumer Supply. Bowles and his wife, Tanya, have five kids. He fills the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association seat on the OBC board. He said he's honored to serve Oklahoma beef producers. Nikki Callison and her husband, Roger, ranch in southern Oklahoma near Ada. They offer beef direct to consumers. God bless her. Through the Callison beef brand. So they are part of each segment of the industry from time the calf hits the ground until it's placed in the consumer's hands. Anyway, welcome to the board. And she also stated, I am honored to represent the Oklahoma Cattlewomen on the Beef Council board. I'm excited to join the board in serving all cattlemen and women in Oklahoma and promote our great industry and feeding families. And, you know, Monty Tucker from out here in Roger Mills County. I'm sure you guys have heard of him. If you haven't, check him out on Facebook. You'll know who he is. He's the chairman. Melanie Varner is the vice chair. Leanne Robinson is the secretary treasurer. More members on there: Russell Bowles, Nikki Callison, Chuck Coffey, Jordan Cook. Yep, Jordan's been on my show. Jess Kane, Gene Lamb, Angie Meyer, Brett Morris, and Jimmy Taylor are all on that board. So anyway, great board we got going there. Let's see. Oh, I got a couple more texts. This is way fun. Anyway, we would like to... I'll hang on to that one for now. Anyway, one of my favorite cowgirls. I guess she didn't like the comment about the parachute pants, so she had to straighten me out. Lori Campbell, Arnett, she's probably out on a horse right now checking her cows for this. Oh, she's responding too, so she's listening. Heiferette is usually used as a first calf heifer that is dry. Lost a calf that goes on feed for harvest. And she's not wearing parachute pants. So anyway, that makes sense to me. Heiferette is usually used as a first calf heifer that is dry, lost a calf, etc., that goes on feed for harvest. There you go. I got me a good answer. Anyway, so that was fun. And I know it's not over. People are going to keep responding as long as I keep bringing up the parachute pants. Well, let's see here. You know what today is? I got plenty of time. Texas Oklahoma Weekly Livestock Auction Summaries from last week. In Texas, compared to last week, feeder steers and heifers sold $1 to $5 higher. Trade was fairly active on good demand. A light snow at the end of the week was a welcome sight for the drought-stricken panhandle. Well, last week, the receipts from Texas sale barns totaled 6,747 head, and that was down from the week before. They had 8,343 head, and this time last year was 7,303 head. And that was at all sale barns in Texas. Feeder cattle, pretty much all this, it's always the same. Feeder cattle make up about 90% of that. Slaughter cattle make up about 9% of that. And replacement cattle make about 2,000 of it. So let's see what feeder cattle were bringing last week in and around. Let's just pick some here. Average weight, 323. Brought up to 225. Average price was $214.52. Let's go pick 400-pounder. Here's 413 on the average. Fancy, 230. Thin flesh, we're bringing up to 218 in the 400-pound range. 500-pound range, 533. Brought up to $1.94. Average was $191.54. That's really good for 500-pound weights. Let's go to 600, see what's happening. Heck, they're even good. Here we go, 621. Bringing up to $1.70, $166.63 was the average. And here's some fancy ones. 607 weight, bringing up to $1.80, $179.56 was the average on fancy ones. 700 range, let's go with these right here because there was a bunch of them. 728, bringing up to $1.66.75, $162.73 was the average. I don't have any heifers to compare with. Okay, Oklahoma. Compared to last week, feeder steers under 800 pounds steady to $3 higher. Over 800 pounds was $1 to $2 lower. I didn't notice that. Feeder heifers sold mostly steady. Steer calves mostly steady to $3 lower. Heifer calves steady to $4 higher. Demand, again, good for all classes. Demand for calves still very, very good despite dry conditions. Summer feeder futures continue high, and this helps for the demand of calves. Slaughter cattle held mostly steady as box beef prices continue to improve. Slaughter cows sold $3 lower. Slaughter bulls sold $1 higher. Packer demand is excellent. Receipts in Oklahoma. 38,458 head were sold last week in sale barns in Oklahoma that reported. The week before was 47,571 head, and last year, this time last year, there was 46,260 head sold in the sale barn. Oklahoma is just a little bit different. Feeder cattle made up 95% of what was sold in the sale barns. Slaughter cattle, 4%, and replacement cattle was just a little over 1%. So let's check out a few of the feeder cattle prices in Oklahoma compared to Texas, about the same. Here we go. 330 was bringing $1.91 to 233 to 1182 was the average. Here's some thin fleshed ones. Let's see what they brought. They averaged 325. They were bringing 228 to 235, and 230.50 was the average. Let's go down to the 400 pound range. Here we go, 431 average weight, 211 to 235, 220, 18, was the average, and this was on thin flesh. Some unwinged ones were bringing $1.90, but that was in the 300 range. They put that in the wrong line. So here we go. 500 pounds up to a dollar, anywhere from $1.68 to $2.08. $2.1650 was, $1.9175 was the average. Here's some fancy ones weighing 512, brought $2.0125. Excellent for 500 weights. Some unwing ones in the five weights was 519, brought $1.8710. And that's it. They don't even have any 600-pound ones in there. What? Let me see if it'll let me go to another page. There we go. Here we go. One more page. Let's get another one. A lot of four- and five-weights sold last week. There we go. 600-pound weights. It actually let me move the page this time. 625, bringing $1.64. 50, some thin fleshed ones, 176, weighed 604. And we get down here to the seven weights, 170 or 164, 155 on the average on seven weights. And then we got eight weights, 154, average price, 151.33. So the cattle market looks really, really good. So everything's going. Well, when I get back, I want to talk about the burn bans in Texas Pan to our neighbors to the east in the Texas Panhandle, and do some counties in our listening area here, update on the burn ban in the Oklahoma side of the state line. So I'll be right back. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, January 14th. 1,850 head were sold. 7 head of steers at 371 brought 221. 8 at 544 brought 185. 19 at 588 brought 172.50. 12 at 683 brought 160.50. 13 at 795 brought 157.25. 23 head of heifers at 428 brought 179. 16 at 550 brought 156.50. 13 at 621 brought 156.50. 6 at 706 brought 152.50. 11 at 758 brought 145.50. Butchered cows were 15 to 74, butcher bulls 55 to 105.50, bred cows 400 to 1325, pairs brought 1400 to 1535. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
In this area, a lot of people wean their calves off their cows in the fall. Wheat's planted in the fall, and they buy calves. They take them to the sale barn or maybe private treaty. They run them through the winter on wheat. And some sell in March before they cut their wheat. Some take them through May and graze out their wheat and sell them in May or run them through grass in the summer. I have cattle. The guys I work with, they have cattle. I'm a fourth generational rancher. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Currently 62. We are even with what they call for a high today, so it's probably going to warm back up. So everything's good there. And the wind's still calm north, out of the north, 4 to 8 miles an hour. I didn't have any girls this weekend, or girls or boys out of the girls this weekend. How's that? That confuses you. But that, no babies this weekend. Thank you very much out there, Sean. Sean works for Price Farms for LC, and they're not too far from where these heifers are. And he was so kind to check the ladies this weekend and their water while I was down and out. Yesterday was the first time I got to put some real weight on my legs, and on my right leg. And I tell you, that cow kicked my butt, but found out yesterday infection got her and she was paralyzed. And she was paralyzed in that one deal. She'd been trying to get up, and So anyway, she went to cow heaven on us yesterday. So I hate that, man. It was a good cow. My neighbor's cow was a really good cow. But things like that happen, man. We got the good, bad, and ugly goes on out on the ranch every day. Most everybody listening out here know exactly what I'm talking about. And that's what my wife texted in here on the text line. I don't know if you guys know this, but I think she might be my number one fan. But anyway, she asked me, does that make Reba a Calette? Reba's the one that's in the picture with me. Reba's probably 3.5 years old, running close to 4 years old. She lost her calf year before last, and she's that's one of those special girls that'll never leave the farm, even though it doesn't look like she's going to have another calf for me. But she can stand out there and look good. She's a beautiful calf. She's half Simmental. She's got the Simmental red in her, and she kind of looks like a Shorthorn, but she is a brute. But anyway, she's my favorite girl. So anyway, we got everything going on. People texting me. Let's go to the burn ban in Oklahoma. It looks like all of Western Oklahoma, including Oklahoma County, Logan County, everything west of that line, except for Woods County, Ellis County, Roger Mills, Beckham, and Washington, are not in the burn ban. Our other counties in our listening area, Harmon, Greer, Kiowa, Jackson, Tillman, Comanche, Cotton, Caddo, Blaine, Custer, Dewey, Woodward, Harper, and all the Texas the Oklahoma Panhandle, you guys are in a burn ban. And I'm sure this will be updated every county commissioner meeting. I know Beckham County's having theirs today. I don't even know if it's a topic, but no matter whether we're in a burn ban or not, guys, there's no need. Just hang tight and wait on it. If we get a big snow, get out there and burn it. But things are rough, and our very big part of our fire season is coming up pretty shortly in March when the winds start howling in the last part of February. So just be careful out there if you got to do something. But let's just don't, like I said a couple weeks ago, don't be that person. Well, in Texas, looks like the whole Texas Panhandle, except for four counties that I could see, five counties, actually a couple of them right next to us, Collinsworth, Hemp Hill, Roberts, Ogletree, and Hansford counties in the Texas Panhandle are the only ones not under a burn ban in those counties. The rest of that Texas Panhandle, which is a big area, is under a burn ban. So be careful out there on that deal there. So that brought you up to snuff on the burn bans. Let's go to the next one. Oh, let's do the, I was going to do this tomorrow, but I don't think I'll have time to do the Texas direct hay report for January from last week. Looks like compared to the last report, hay prices are steady in all regions. Trading activity and demand were moderate. There still seems to be a lot of lower quality hay on the market due to excess moisture in the south during the growing season and untimely rains in other regions. And we're not talking about our region. Anyway, higher quality hays are becoming more limited as winter feeding is in full swing and pasture conditions have deteriorated. Colder temperatures, accompanied by some limited snowfall, moved across the panhandle in North Texas this week. According to the U.S. Drought Monitor, severe and extreme drought expanded in the central and northern portions of the state, while moderate and severe drought expanded in the South Texas. So, speaking of drought, I didn't get to talk about the new drought monitor that came out last Thursday morning, but on the Oklahoma part, I think the only thing that really changed is we're all Western Oklahoma is in a D3, and including the Texas Panhandle and the Oklahoma Panhandle, but there's about half of the Oklahoma Panhandle now in a D4. So that's not bueno. It's not no good. And just letting you update on that, and I got a little story to tell you about the drought right after I get through talking about this. Well, some pricing, and this is in Texas, large squares, 3x4 on premium alfalfa are bringing $300 to $325. Bermuda grass premium was anywhere from $280 to $330. Bermuda grass. And that was in small bales. And then in Bermuda grass also in price per bale was in the $10 to $11 per square bale. And that's on the baby bales. And on large rounds on Bermuda grass in Texas was $120 to $160. Bermuda grass good was $60 to $80. And Bermuda grass, that was in the large rounds. And then in the small squares, good Bermuda grass was bringing $235 to $275 a ton. Oh, yeah. They're getting a premium down there. Well, last Friday, I told you guys about Hannah Scroll from Channel 9 News. She's a meteorologist and traffic reporter. She's the new lady on the block up there at Channel 9. She did an interview with me Friday morning, and she put it on. It was at 5:07 during Channel 9 News, and what she was talking about is the drought. But I thought what was more interesting than me being on there was she had a climatologist on there, and he was talking about how usually the drought, you know, the climate change, not the climate change, but the area of moisture changes was always been on the Oklahoma-Texas state line, just right out here, 30 minutes west of where I'm broadcasting from. If there was any major severe droughts, then it was always west of that line. What he's saying now is that the line has moved 100 miles to the east, and it's got Oklahoma City as that line now. And this has happened over 50 years, not ever since Al Gore was vice president and started all this global warming crap. But anyway, climate change, I believe in. Global warming, it's probably, you know, it probably does, but they've made it out to be that we were causing it. But it's always happened. But that was an interesting fact. I'm going to try to get that gentleman to come on and explain, because he said now droughts are going to be normal around our area. So that's not good news, but it's reality. So, well, when I get back, I got your cow-calf corner to talk about, and we got some other stuff happening in the farming world. So we got to kind of think about what we're doing this year because of our input costs. So I'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. For sale last Tuesday, January the 18th, we sold 533 cows, bulls, and calves. Thursday, January the 20th, we sold 4,675 calves and feeders for a total of 5,208 cattle for the week. Killing cows up to 2 higher, bulls 3 to 4 higher. Tuesday, better killing cows 70 to 76.50. Thin cows bring 55 to 71.5, with the bulls bringing 80 up to 99. 3 to 4 year old open cows to breed bring 78 to 86. If you'd gone directly to the packer, you would have cost yourself $10 to $20 a hundred on them younger cows that's good to breed. Also on the bred cows, anything old, bred 5 months or longer more, bring a lot more than packer price. 5 to 8 year old bred cows, $900 to $1,100. 9 and older bred cows, $835 to $950. With a 5 to 8 year old pairs, $1,210 to $1,500. Under steer cattle, 3 to 350 weight steers, $212.50 to $227, 4 to 450, $2 to $218, 5 to 550, $184 up to $208, 6 to 650, $166 to $188, 7 to 750, $155 to $166, 8 to 850, $152.5 to $160.50, with our 9 to 950 steers, $149 to $152, 1,000 50 pound steers, $139 to $144.75. On our heifers, 3 to 4 weight heifers, $174 to $184, 4 to 450, $140 to $177, 5 to 550, $155 to $167, 6 to 650, $145 to $158, 7 to 750 heifers, $148 to $153 and a quarter, 8 to 850, $140.50 to $150, and 913 pound heifers bring $135. Extremely good market with lots of good cattle selling, steer cattle 5 to 550, topping at 208, 6 to 650, $188. And our 7 to 750 heifers topping 153.25. For this Tuesday, January the 25th, we got 40 bred cows, plus we got 35 bred cows and pairs. More by sale time. We'll see you this Tuesday, 8 a.m. sharp. Thanks again, Jerry Nine, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier. And that's exactly what advanced technology from Valley does. IconX brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley IconX. Any brand of pivot. One connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation,
Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. See their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Well, 64. We already topped our high today by 2 degrees, and it'll still be getting warmer. It's currently 64. Humidity's 20%. Winds are out of the northwest, 5 miles an hour, gusting up to hurricane strength 9, so everything's cool outside. It's a beautiful day out there. Today, sunny, high near 62, low 26 tonight. Winds will switch, come out of the north-northeast. Tomorrow, 41. Tomorrow afternoon, the snow chances move in after lunch. 30% chance of snow tomorrow night. 30% chance of snow Wednesday, low tomorrow night 18, high Wednesday set 32, low 18, then here we go again. Thursday we start warming up for the weekend, back in the 50s. By Friday we'll be 53 with, it looks like basically no severe wind coming in with this cold front here, but looks like a pretty calm week for Western Oklahoma and Eastern Texas Panhandle. So there is your Hobart Farm and Garden Weather Long Ranger update. Well, I was telling you, I meant to do it in the second segment, but I got sidetracked with the heiferette and messing with Lori. Couple weeks after the Roger Mills bull sale, big sale up there by Leedy, Quartermaster Creek spring bull sale will be happening, and that'll be Wednesday, February 23rd at 12:30 at the ranch in Leedy, selling 145 two-year-old bulls. So we got two really good bull sales. We just had one Saturday. We got two more, and I know there's some more out there. If somebody knows of one, let me know. I try to keep up with everything, but you know what? There's a lot of things going on in the agriculture industry, and it's kind of hard to keep up, so I don't want anybody to feel like they were left out. But that's always a great sale up there at the Quartermaster Creek bull sale. Awesome sale. So anyway, I hear people always bragging on going out there. Well, I'm sure you guys know there's two types of beef buyers at work. Since the new year began, the market seemed to be searching for equilibrium, which is not uncommon. It appears to me that this is being created by buyers having two different mindsets. One type of buyer is focused on numbers. They must buy thousands of cattle in a time frame, are over-anxious about getting them. Type, condition, quality, and even the health of the cattle do not matter to some of these people. They are making it a seller's market as they keep bidding until the other guy quits. How the cattle look on papers, how the cattle should actually look, and these guys are overspending for some of the cattle they are getting. This is a story. I'm not giving you my opinion, so don't take me. If you're one of these buyers, don't get mad at me. The other type of buyer is focused more on quality, and the prices paid for cattle reflect that. This is because the first type of buyer wasn't at that auction. The kind of dynamic makes it difficult for me to call a trend that I'm seeing during the week, because it creates more of a roller coaster. At one auction, the heavy feeders were higher, and the next they were lower. This changes the value of gain and relationships between weights from one sale to the next. With this Roy. Both buyers and sellers, quit laughing back there, Aaron. Sellers need to pay attention to auctions in their area and communicate with the sale barn. And that's what I've always told you guys. When you get ready to buy and sell, don't be afraid of calling somebody like Brandon or Jerry or Rex. Don't be afraid of calling those guys. I always do. I always call them and say, hey, I got 23 head of mixed, you know, heifers and steers and blah, blah, blah. This is what I got. Some of them are good. Some of them are bad. You know, wasn't the quality I was wanting on some of the lower end of my calf crop, but I changed bulls and got rid of that. And they always do me right. If we do end up with a sale with one of those buyers willing to pay the same price for cattle of a certain weight, no matter how they look, we'll probably get skunked at the sale. It is better to go home with an empty trailer than a load of overpriced cattle. As a seller, it will pay to shop around as well. Fancy cattle sell well wherever they are, but not all of us have that fancy stock. Those of us who do have that, not have that fancy stock, need to find out where these careless volume buyers are and sell our cattle there. It will always pay to call the stockyard and find out what the weight of cattle they have for the highest demand for. It will also be worth taking the time to ask what can be expected for discounts and premiums, and the price swing is getting pretty wide in some places. Here's what I mean by the price swing. A buddy tells me in his local area there is pretty much no discount for balling calves. Not too far away from him, there's a $12 discount for balling calves. As a seller, this makes it worth the drive extra hour to the road for selling balling calves. For you listeners out there that don't know what balling calves is, that means they weren't weaned. They're taken straight off the mom and taken straight to the sale barn. And there's lots of people that do it, but some places you get docked, some places you don't. Some markets have a $10 rollback on heifers, while others hammer the girls with a $50 rollback. Clearly, we found a great price to sell steers. And they found a great place to sell steers. And it goes on from different sale barns. But, you know, I this weekend when I was looking at all the sale barns going in Oklahoma and checking, I even checked one in Arkansas. All the sale barns in Oklahoma, for the most part, I might have missed something there, from Woodward to Elk City to Western Oklahoma to Hobart to Apache to Pawnee, even over there in Fort Smith, Arkansas. Everyone was pretty well in check with all their weights on heifers and steers, price per pound on their weight. So anyway, it was pretty interesting to look that up. There was one animal I saw a couple sales this week that nobody want. Not even the careless volume buyer. It was the short wing cattle. I've written about this before. This time I will direct and try a different way to get the point across. Value-added marketing is the only value added if we capture the added value. I'll read that one more time. Value-added marketing is only value added if we capture the added value. It makes no sense to put in an entire year's worth of work and then right as we begin bringing the product to the market, devalue it. The softest way to say this is that it is the opposite of doing smart things. In other words, you're a dummy. And I've been a dummy once or twice in selling my cattle. And I'm not afraid to admit to you, but I've learned a lot. And I try to do my best not to be a dummy again. These short wing cattle were a little over 30% off. And that's high for short wing cattle. Be that off. A 7 to 10 day wing costs the producer over $300 per head. Given what it takes to run a cow in our local area, this was the difference between red ink and black ink. Let me try putting it a different way to get the point across. These people are trying to make money with a 30% death loss. We must sell something our customer wants to buy, and it's clear the buyers do not want the short wing garbage. Something else stood out this week. As many sales as we could sell a winged animal at and replace it with a heavier baller and put a nice lump of cash in our pocket. When I compared animals, I compared these similar to each other. Last week and this week, I noticed that the animals that fell into the number one and number two class have the greatest profit margin. If you're in this to make money, then you have to respect the entire market. Last week, I also noticed a change in the hay market that held up this week. Small square bales are finally overvalued to large round bales again. The change in the relationship was dramatic, as they are now more than double the value of rounds. And if you figured that up a while ago when I was saying grass, I'm talking about just good grass, $10 to $11 a square bale. I think there's 17 to 20 square bales in a round bale, depends on how heavy they are. You do the math. If you have some small squares that you can compart with, you can sell them and easily double the tonnage of hay on hand with the same amount of money buying back rounds. Hey, I like that. If you're really ambitious, you can go then unroll those rounds and square bale them back up. Sell by marketing isn't just for cattle. It works on anything. So anyway, there you got that on that. I hope that kind of gave you a point. I wasn't dogging on nobody in particular, just reading an interesting story that I thought was pretty interesting. Well, when I first started doing this show back in the summer, I was talking to you about the Oklahoma Quality Beef Network, and the OQBN, they call it, wrapped up one more year of the VAC Back 45 certified sales in late December. The OQBN scheduled 10 fall sales across 7 markets. A total of 2,674 head were enrolled in it this year by 63 producers, with 1,633 marketed through the OQBN sales. Preliminary average premiums were calculated from data collected by the Oklahoma State University Extension Livestock Economic Specialist that included 11,027 head marketed in 1,352 total lots. 228 OQBN and 1,224 non-OQBN followed below average premiums in 2020. Preliminary numbers indicate producers likely saw a favorable increase in 2021 premiums for preconditioned calves over non-preconditioned calves, as an approximate average premium received was $15 CWT. The largest proportion of these calves marketed through the OQBN sales were 4 to 6 weight calves, accounting for 79% of those calves. Premiums received for 4-weight steers range from $16.92 to $37.01 CWT and from $0 to $22.55 CWT for heifers. The largest proportion of the OQBN calves were in the 5-weight, with premium steers ranging from $10.36 to $22.08 CWT and for heifers $0 to $35.53 CWT. So premiums appeared stronger with more OQBN calves or other programs. Calves were present, likely drawing in a larger audience of buyers to compete for preconditioned calves and generating greater selling power. And we were just talking about that. You come in there with preconditioned calves, you got some selling power. High heat and dry weather conditions in late summer and early fall contributed to fewer calves enrolled in the OQBN program, and many producers were without available resources to begin preconditioning programs. I'm going to see if I can get a hold of Kelly Rapper at the OSU Extension deal in Stillwater. I'd like for her to come on and talk to me about the cost difference between what it costs with our input being higher this year and compared to the non-preconditioned. So anyway, I'd like to find out what happened with those numbers there, because our input on our feed and everything else is just getting out of hand. And so guys got to think about what he's doing with his cattle or anything going on right now, but mainly his cattle, seeing, hey, can I keep these 60 days on feed and sell them and make any more money, or am I just throwing it in the wind? So anyway, well, it's been a great day. Lacey will be on tomorrow, and we'll talk about all the hopefully good weather signs coming up. I did notice in the Long Ranger in about 10 or 12 days, our percentage is going up about 30% on some rain. Hopefully it'll do us some good. I don't know that it will or not. But anyway, well, you guys have a great day. God bless. You've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
From Shamrock, Texas to Weatherford, Oklahoma, we are today's best country.
This is my country.